What's up, my dudes and ladies? I'm Nate Houseman, your guide to the 21st century, and we got to talk about Devin Archer's testimony to Congress yesterday, and really the absolute wall of evidence against the Biden crime family. I mean, Joe Biden is a national security threat with all his crooked dealings with foreign governments, say with Ukraine, China. Who knows what kind of blackmail they have on him? And he's susceptible to doing the bidding of our foreign enemies. So before we go any further, let's just look at this little nugget from Rasmussen Reports. Bidengate. Most voters suspect a cover-up. This is from yesterday, July 31st. With Hunter Biden's former business partner, Devin Archer, reportedly set to spill the beans on Joe Biden's involvement in their foreign business deals, most voters think the resident has tried to cover up the scandal. So, yeah, you've lost. They've lost the American people. They never had the American people to begin with. You know, Rasmussen is probably the only polling firm that I trust anymore because they just bucked the trend and they are not tied to like any mainstream media or college or university sort of, you know, flacks. So the fact that Rasmussen is reporting this, 60% of likely U.S. voters believe the resident has been part of an illegal cover-up to hide his involvement in his son Hunter's foreign business deals, including 45% who think such a cover-up is very likely. So, yeah, we don't have to ever pretend again that the Democrats win fair elections. We don't have to give them the benefit of the doubt. We don't have to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're working, you know, in America's best interests. The Democrats are a criminal organization, and Joe Biden is just one spoke in the wheel. You know, people are saying he's the most corrupt president we've ever had. First of all, I don't acknowledge him as a president because he stole the election. And second, Barack Obama is even worse. Barack Obama is the man behind the curtain in this whole affair. And we're going to get to him in due course. But if you find this content valuable, please like it on whatever platform you're watching on, whether it's, you know, Rumble, Odyssey, or on podcast, give it a thumbs up, share it with your friends, and subscribe on whatever channel you're watching this on. You can go to my website, natehouseman.net. I've got stories from all around the web. I've got memes galore. I've got a merch shop. I've got a list of resources for you to take advantage of in these crazy economic times. I'll talk about one of them a little later. And if you want to be part of the conversation and hopefully, you know, even give me some feedback or suggest further future topics, you can join my Locals page. Locals.com is a great, you know, platform for exclusive content, members. If you want to support your favorite content creators, I support, let's see here, there's Salty Cracker. I'm a member of his channel. I'm a subscriber to his group. There's Camelot331. He's that guy's a stitch. Also, Degenerate Boomers. That's a Raging Golden Eagle. And Diddy Cobra's channels, Locals page isn't so active, but I love his live streams. If you become a subscriber, $5 a month, you can become part of the conversation, and we'll have some, I might even have some exclusive content for you later down the road, so consider that. Now, let's get started here. Zero Hedge has a great article really explaining what happened yesterday, just the whole testimony here. Devin Archer spills the beans, tells Congress about shady Burisma dealings, Joe Biden's more than 20 conversations. I think I'm going to read this whole article because it's full of good stuff. Hunter Biden's former business partner, Devin Archer, has spilled the beans to Congress, telling lawmakers in a closed-door session that Burisma Holdings pressured Hunter Biden in December of 2015 to deal with a Ukrainian prosecutor who was investigating the firm for corruption. Shortly before, then-VP Joe Biden threatened Ukraine with a quid pro quo over U.S. aid in exchange for firing said prosecutor. So that's what they impeached Trump over. He was just asking questions. Talking to Zelensky over the phone, just asking, okay, what kind of things were going on there? We want to root out corruption in our country. I know you want to root out corruption in your country. Let's work together. And the Democrats Democrat-controlled House impeached him. According to Just News, Archer told the House Oversight and Accountability Committee that Hunter Biden was hired to sit on the board of Burisma because of his family's brand had value at the time, when the firm was facing corrupt allegations, not only from Ukraine's own prosecutor general's office, but from the U.S. and Great Britain as well. Devin Archer testified that the value of adding Hunter Biden to Burisma's board was the brand, and confirmed that then Vice President Joe Biden brought the most value to the brand, an anonymous source told Just the News. Archer also stated that Burisma would have gone under if not for the brand. Archer also contradicted Joe Biden's claims that he had never met with Hunter Biden's foreign business associates, telling the committee that Joe Biden had gone on speakerphone over 20 times with his son's business clients, not to engage in specific business, but he was put on the phone to sell the brand. The former business partner at the Rosemont Syndicate firm, that's a so-called investment firm, who was convicted in 2018 in a tribal bond fraud scheme, also told lawmakers that Hunter Biden was pressured in late 2015 to help deal with Prosecutor General Viktor Shokin's corruption investigation as Joe Biden was preparing to travel to Ukraine. In December 2015, Mykola Zlochevsky, the owner of Burisma, and Vadim Bozarsky, an executive of Burisma, placed constant pressure on Hunter Biden to get help from D.C. regarding the Ukrainian prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, a source told Just the News. Shokin was investigating Burisma for corruption. Hunter Biden, along with Zlochevsky and Pozharsky, Ukrainian's not my first language, they called D.C. to discuss the matter. Biden, Zlochevsky, and Pozharsky stepped away to make the call. A few days after that meeting, Joe Biden visited Ukraine as vice president and began an effort to force Ukraine's president to fire Shokin, eventually threatening to withhold $101 billion in U.S. loan guarantees if the termination did not happen. Biden's defenders have long maintained the firing was not related to Burisma and was a result of U.S. policy because the Obama administration felt Shokin was corrupt. Biden is on video bragging about this, like he's at a press conference or some summit or something. He's on video saying, oh yeah, he did this. Miranda Devine tweets, Devin Archer's testimony today is bombshell. Hunter Biden's ex-BFF testified that the value of adding Hunter Biden to Burisma's board was the brand and confirmed that then Vice President Joe Biden brought the most value to the brand. Archer also stated that Burisma, in December 2015, Mykola Zlochevsky, the owner of Burisma, and Vadim Pozharsky, an executive of Burisma, placed constant pressure on Hunter Biden to get help from D.C. regarding the Ukrainian prosecutor, Viktor Shokin. So, and I'm going to click more because that'll open a new tab. But, back to the article. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene echoed Just the News' source, telling the Daily Caller, the biggest significant thing that has come out so far is that we now have proof that Joe Biden lied. He's been telling everyone for years now that he knows nothing about Hunter Biden's business deals, that he's never talked to his son about it. Well, this morning, Devin Archer confirmed for all of us that this is not true. And Marjorie Taylor Greene tweets, Devin Archer, Hunter Biden's former best friend and business associate, asked Hunter why appointees from the Obama-Biden admin arrested him. Hunter explained, it's democracy. Every president's family is held to a higher standard. It's the price of being the most powerful group. Back to the article, he told us in his transcribed interview that he heard Hunter Biden speak to Joe Biden more than 20 times about their business deals. Not about anything else, but about the business deals, she added. Meanwhile, trust fund Democrat Dan Goldman, Schiff, a.k.a. Schiff Jr., continues to run cover. Anthony Cabasa tweets, Justin, after years of denying speaking with Hunter Biden's business partners abroad, lawyer now says of POTUS, he has never said he has spoken with anyone. He might have said hello to some business partners. Stephen Miller tweets, this was always predictable about where this was headed. Next will be some, he would have been stupid not to take bribes from hostile foreign entities. Actually, let's play this video. I guess we are going to open a new tab. Sorry, the page is loading for those of you listening to the podcast. Representative Daniel Goldman says, preposterous premise to say Joe Biden.
I don't think that's what he said. He never said that he has never spoken to anyone. he said that he had nothing to do with Hunter Biden's business dealings. If he says hello to someone that he sees his son with, what is he supposed to say? Hi, son. No, I'm not going to say hello to the other people at the table or the other people on the phone. It's kind of a preposterous premise to think that a father should not say hello to people that the son is at dinner with. And that is literally all the evidence is.
It's like a party trick that Hunter Biden used to impress the people he was with.
So anyone who's defending the Bidens right now ought to be investigating themselves. That's what I'm thinking. Just as anyone who's attacking the Sound of Freedom movie needs to have their hard drives investigated. Democrats are, of course, starting to cry foul at the rules they themselves made during the Trump years. Stephen L. Miller's tweets or posts on X, welcome to the new rules you guys created, retweeting Brent Baker. NBC's Chuck Todd, for instance, House Republicans are going to accuse them whether they have the evidence or not. They may have an information ecosystem that helps amplify it to a point where you don't think he needs to, hey, just so you know, I don't do business with my son. Okay. Ever since Trump came down the escalator in 2015, I've lost count, and so has everyone else. We've lost count of how many times the pot is called the kettle black. I mean, I didn't like Trump at first, but just the way the media piled onto him, that told me he must be onto something. He must know what's going on. I'm going to listen to him, and I'm glad I did. Anyone who listens to Trump, in context, without the media chopping up his, speeches, knows he's on the up and up. We're gonna talk about some media, flailing a little bit later, but let's talk about why this testimony is important and why it's such a big deal that Joe knows about Hunter's, business dealings here. This is from a few paragraphs from the Postmillennial article here. Hunter Biden's former business partner and close friend Devin Archer will not be the last associate of Hunter Biden's to be deposed before the House Oversight Committee. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene revealed to the Postmillennial that we have more business partners coming in, so this is not the only one. There's more to come. And while she cannot yet reveal the names of those associates, it's clear that the inquiry into Joe Biden's alleged influence peddling is far from over. And she says, while influence peddling is not necessarily a crime, in a lot of circles, like say with celebrities, for example, influence peddling is a massive crime when it comes to someone that is vice president or member of Congress or Senate or anyone in power to make very important policy decisions. Yeah, what Joe Biden did with Burisma was he interfered in the workings of a foreign country. That was an enemy act. That was a hostile enemy action against a sovereign country. Who's to say that he can be pressured or blackmailed to commit crimes on behalf of another hostile foreign power like China? Like, as was evidenced by the whole balloon fiasco in February. Bad people have the dirt on him. They've got so much on him that they own him. He is a national security threat. Now, from the Daily Caller here, paragraph from this article. James Comer was on Fox, looks like, Newsmax, and Greg Kelly asked, when you think about what Archer testified today, and my question is, did Joe Biden violate the Foreign Agents Restriction Act? Comer said, because his family was receiving millions and millions of dollars from these foreign nationals, none of these people, Hunter put his dad on the business phone with, are reputable business people. They're all under some type of investigation or on the run in the countries where they are from. So there's that. Now, we got to, point and laugh at CNN and MSNBC, the fake news, for trying to defend this. I mean, people, if you're watching CNN and MSNBC for any other reason besides picking them apart and criticizing them, if you're like buying what they're selling, you need to be investigated just like the Democrats in office. I mean, You're an accomplice at this point. CNN claims Hunter Biden was selling the illusion of access to his father to overseas business associates. So CNN is trying to, cover this up. And so is, so are the flacks on MSNBC. Representative Goldman is the latest liberal hack to push the Joe Biden. It's crooked because he was sad over the death of his other son, Beau Biden. And an MSNBC hack claims Joe Biden was not aware of Hunter's Mega Millions influence peddling because he was sad. So these, I don't know. We got so much dirt on Joe Biden. We've got emails. We've got text. We got text information. We've got text messages. We've got testimony from Devin Archer. You know, anyone who's like trying to deflect on Donald Trump's supposed dirty dealings. I mean, the reason Trump fought to hide his taxes wasn't necessarily to hide his taxes. He wanted the case to go up to the Supreme Court and have them rule on it and set a precedent. When everyone finally got to see his taxes, he was clean as a whistle. They couldn't find anything that was wrong with him. But they set a precedent, so now we can look at Joe Biden's taxes. We can look at Obama's taxes. We can look at the Clintons' taxes. We can look at all of their paperwork. Trump's a thinker. He's a negotiator. He's a planner. And he knows how to work people. So we're going to get to the last article of this little program here. We'll be here. But I want to mention a way you can support the program and support yourself. I've got an affiliate link. I've got a bunch of affiliate links in the description. And one of them is to a company called BitFi. BitFi.com is a cryptocurrency exchange that's, open to users in the United States. And they've got a lot of advanced features here. And one of the best ones is copy trading. With copy trading, you don't have to make any buy and sell orders yourself. I mean, trading is pretty risky, but if you follow a copy trader, like some of these who are making 600, 450% of returns on their investments, you can let them do the trades for you and make probably the closest sure thing to passive income there is. So while you're working your normal job and not getting anywhere with inflation the way it is, here's a way for you to build some passive income and hopefully become independent enough that you can break away from the corporations, break away from the system, and join the fight to bring law and order and justice back to the country. So click on the link to BitFi. I use it myself. There's like several cryptocurrency exchanges that I'm really a big fan of, and BitFi is one of them. So do yourself a favor, and you'll be supporting the program as well. One last little piece we're going to read here from the American Thinker. And I apologize for the way my browser is just taking and assembling the pages here. How did the Clintons, Obamas, and Bidens get rich? And how did Trump? This is by Jack Kellner. With all the focus on President Trump and his legal woes, we're talking about, the indictments and whatnot. The question arises, how did Trump get rich? And how did the Democrat elites persecuting him now get rich? Let's start with the Clintons. How did the Clintons get rich? The Clintons took no risk, made no investments, and didn't borrow money. No, they just used Hillary's powerful position, slurping from the public trough, to sell access to all comers for huge amounts of money. See here, there's a link to an article that says Clintons charge big fees to small groups, and Clinton's cash for access diplomacy. You've heard of the Clinton Foundation? That's just a way for foreign dignitaries and big shots to donate money to whatever crooked dealings the Clintons have going on. The Media and Justice Department didn't care about this corruption any more than they cared about her mishandling of classified documents, destroying documents and computers, obstructing justice, or perpetuating a massive fraud in the 2016 election with the Russia dossier. Now let's go to the Obamas. How did the Obamas get rich? Without going through Congress, Obama used the FCC in 2015 to implement net neutrality, which he claimed was meant to help the little guy, but it saved the big users of bandwidth on the internet huge amounts of money because they didn't have to reimburse the internet providers for their investments. Yeah, Obama acted unilaterally when he was president. This should have been a bill that passed through Congress, but Obama, through his FCC under his control, under the executive branch, they made rules which they don't have the authority to do that. Net neutrality is the principle that internet service providers must treat all internet communications equally, offering users and online content providers consistent rates irrespective of content, website, platform, application, type of equipment, source address, destination address, or method of communication without price discrimination. The biggest users of internet bandwidth are Google, Netflix, Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, and Amazon, who consume more than 43% of the bandwidth. So those huge companies got huge savings because of Obama's actions. Trump got rid of net neutrality, and Biden is trying to bring it back. Democrats love to pretend they write policies for the common folk, but they essentially are puppets for the big companies. Google essentially had an office at the White House during the Obama and Biden years. The Android administration, this is linked to an article. Over the past 7 years, Google has created a remarkable partnership with the Obama White House, providing expertise, services, advice, and personnel for vital government projects. Precisely how much influence this buys Google isn't always clear, but consider that over the European Union, Google is now facing two major antitrust charges for abusing its dominance in mobile operating systems and search. By contrast, in the US, a strong case to sanction Google was squashed by a presidentially appointed commission. So that's how the big companies get big. They have help from the government. They grease some palms. They lobby, which is another word for bribery. They do favors, and it was sort of quid pro quo. As soon as Obama was out of office, the Obamas were awarded a huge contract with Netflix, despite having no product and no experience. The Obama Netflix deal explained. After completing their two terms as President and First Lady, Barack and Mike Obama have signed up for some pretty lucrative projects. The first, announced in February 2017, was a joint deal worth an estimated $65 million to push their memoirs. They care so much about the little guy. I bet the writers and actors on strike are pretty jealous that they are so low paid while the Obamas just slurped from the public trough for years, rewarded Netflix with net neutrality, and got a huge kickback worth millions so they could buy multiple mansions. Obama and his Justice Department and other Democrats knew how corrupt the Clintons and Bidens were as they lined their pockets with foreign money, but have never cared as they campaigned for them, covered up for them, and continually targeted President Trump for destruction. But they are supposedly outraged that conservative Supreme Court justices have rich friends they take trips with. Good one. Now let's look at the Bidens. How did the Bidens get rich? It appears they took political corruption to a new level. Joe and Hunter traveled the world in government jets, gathering up kickbacks. They set up a large number of shell corporations to gather and distribute the money to several family members and some business associates. It does not appear that they took any risk, made any investments, borrowed any money, or hired more than a few people in these shell companies, such as Hunter's stripper girlfriend, who was hired for a while. Yeah, Hunter, I don't know if that's the same gal who was in the pictures with the Marjorie Taylor Greene show, but Hunter actually tried to write prostitutes off on his tax return. That's balls. According to the Muslim media, Justice Department, and other Democrats, inconceivably say they can't spot any evidence that Joe Biden did anything wrong. Well, not if they're listening to the real media, which is the bloggers, podcasters, YouTubers, Rumble creators, and so forth. Of course, they aren't interested in Joe illegally having and mishandling classified documents, no matter how long he had them, how many times they were moved, and what they were. Now let's look at President Trump. How did Trump get rich? He took massive risks, made huge investments, borrowed lots of money while building casinos, hotels, and golf resorts. He created tens of thousands of jobs, paid huge sales, property, payroll, and other taxes. Trump had a business that he grew. After that, the media and other Democrats have targeted him with witch hunts and claimed that he was corrupt. They even went after Trump because some foreign government officials stayed at his hotels. Heaven forbid. But massive kickbacks to the Clintons and Bidens from foreign parties is perfectly okay. Here's a quote from another article. A federal appeals court tossed out a lawsuit by congressional Democrats who had sued President Trump for allegedly violating the Constitution's emoluments clause. The clause bars presidents from receiving money from foreign governments. Goodness gracious. Are they actually accusing Trump of what they do themselves? Isn't that some sort of like symptom of narcissistic personality disorder? Oh my gosh. Moral of the story, Democrats can do whatever they want to get rich while sucking off the public's heat because they love big government. But Republicans who are capitalists and who have policies that give power, freedom, and money back to the people must be stopped because they are the threat to the leftist agenda and the powerful bureaucracy, the deep state. On a related note, the media and prosecutors are now worried about who's paying Trump's legal bills on their multiple witch hunts. The author bets the media and prosecutors aren't worried at all about where Hunter is getting his money to pay all his high-paid lawyers or many potential clients of conflicts of interest, since they don't seem to care about anything Joe or Hunter do. Hunter said he needs a lower child support for his child with former stripper Lauren Roberts, the 4-year-old Navy. So where is this money coming from? He hasn't appeared to have any real job for years, only kickbacks. So there you go. Trump has two major skills that he has used to build his business empire and launch himself to fabulous success. He's a really good negotiator, and he's a really good planner. He develops real estate, which requires a great deal of planning and advanced work in detail. You know, he's also a good negotiator. This has been a great thing while, you know, negotiating trade deals with other countries, like scrapping NAFTA, which was harming the American workers so horribly. We have moved out of the traditional conservative versus liberal paradigm. Like I said before, I didn't like Trump at first because I didn't think he was a genuine conservative, but now we're finding out that conservative and liberal are both valid, you know, points of view. The real problem is that the crooks and the fraudsters and really the terrorists who pretend to have certain values, like the Democrats and Republicans, but really they're just, you know, using that as a disguise for their whatever shenanigans they're trying to pull off. We're moving beyond that. That whole thing started to dissolve in 2015 when Trump came down the escalator and showed what a pragmatist he is. The day he won me over was when he took on the media and told them to their faces during a press conference just how rotten they were. I mean, I've hated the media ever since 2003. Really, even before that, because I saw how unfair they were to any Republican or conservative, figure. I was bullied as a kid. I was not the favorite in my family. So I know what injustice looks like. And I know when it's happening to anyone in the public. I knew when it was happening to Donald Trump. So that's why a lot of people glom onto him. They understand what he's going through because they've gone through it themselves. So with that, I will let you go. Use this information as you will. If you like it, like I said, share it and subscribe and give it a thumbs up. And do click on the link to BidFi and take advantage of and really help build up your financial future and help break away from the rat race. I will let you go. I am Nate Houseman, letting you know it's okay to stand up for yourself. Have a good one.